I wonder how many of you have ever been in a choir at some point, any form of choir. Put your hand up if you've ever been in a choir or had aspirations to be in a choir. A good chunk of you, most of you, by a long way. Okay, thank you. That's good. Interestingly, a lot of folks seem to be getting really interested in choirs these days. What was his name? Gareth Malone, who did the series on TV and started to spark people's interest. But there is something about a group of people coming together and joining in something that's bigger than themselves and in just declaring that wonder, that joy of singing out what is usually beautiful music and lovely words. You'd hope that's what a choir would choose to sing. So many people, even who are not Christians, love to come and be part of a choral set. So singing things like From the Messiah, for example. They love to be part of it because there's something about joining together with other people. So you're part of a much larger group. You have a purpose. You're united in your purpose of singing out these songs. Someone around you will probably be singing almost exactly the same as you are, whilst there'll be others who are singing completely different harmonies and parts, but you're all in it together. And even if you are one of the sopranos or whatever your little particular section is, and you're singing, your voice will be unique. And there's that sense of you have a part uniquely in something that's much, much bigger. And it occurred to me that people enjoy doing that. And here's the good news for any of you who've had aspirations of being in a choir. Do you realize that God has those same aspirations for you? That you should be in his choir. He has a desire that you come together as a group and sing his praise. And the desire, the choir that I'm talking about, by the way, is not this kind of heavenly choir that we don't like to talk about too much, which comes when we're no longer part of this world. I'm not talking about the eternal heavenly choir. I'm talking about the one right now that's been operating around you this morning, that you're a part of, that the folks around you sing within. And when you come together, you are about God's purpose when you sing praise for him. It's God's plan for you. It's his design. We often call it worship, but that worship is more than going through a series of practices. It's coming and giving yourself and opening up. And when we offer worship, we very often do what scripture says, is we come and we sing out songs. And your scriptures go through it again. We read from Psalm 95 again and again. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation, Psalm 95. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Psalm 98, jump up a bit. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy hand arm have worked salvation for him. Turn over the page, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Psalm 101. I will sing of your love and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praise. I'm not surprising that the Psalms are full of this. These were given as a tool for people to come together like a choir and give God his due. But all of those Psalms that I've just read to you have one thing in common. They invite a heart response from people who know God personally. And if you know God personally, that is the heart response that he invites of you today. And Psalm 95 is a psalm which invites you, us, to come together and worship God. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And those first two verses spell out the who it is we come before. They spell out how we come to him, and they spell out the beginnings of why we come to him. We come to the Lord. Do you realize that? I wonder whether you've got in your head why you came this morning. Do you realize you don't come and sing to the people around you? That's a side product, and that's often wonderful. But you come to sing to the Lord, to God, to the rock of our salvation. Think about that. You are coming to sing your heart out to the one who gave you salvation. And how are you to do it? Well, joyfully, for a start. With joy, with thanksgiving. That's what our last song was about. And with music and song, if those things go along. And if you don't have music, and you don't actually have songs and the words that you can all remember, you can still come and pour your heart out to God, to sing from your heart. So this morning, I want to ask you the question, how's your singing voice? I didn't say how well do you sing, I said how's your singing voice? It's a different thing. Yeah. Because this is the song that you're being invited every time we gather as his people to sing to him. It is an appreciation of God, of who he is. And if you're struggling with your voice, if like me, you've had a really rough week. Yesterday I couldn't stop crying and my nose was running the whole time. So I'm amazed I've got a voice at all this morning. And if you're just singing is not your thing and you find it difficult to stay in tune, well, God's got that covered. What was the first verse say? Shout aloud. If you can't sing, then shout aloud. Elsewhere in Scripture we see, make a joyful noise to the Lord, but make it. Is there something in you that wants to pour it out? How's your singing voice to God? Your spiritual singing voice. Do you know this has absolutely nothing to do with your musical ability, which is good for those of us who don't have staggering gifts in that department. It's got nothing to do with how you're feeling. It's got nothing to do with the resources that the church provides for you, whether it be music, acoustics, hymn books, or anything else, or the type of song you choose. It's got everything to do with your heart responding to who God is. Do you realize that when you come and you worship, you don't come and because, oh, I like to sing this type of song. I like to do, it's actually about God. It's not about you. But it's something we do that should be a natural response to who God is. This morning, when you came, were you filled with joy in the Lord? Were you compelled when you walked through the door to sing out as Richard was choosing the songs and putting them on the screen for you? Were you compelled to sing? I was at the back for quite a chunk of it. I'm not compelled, convinced a lot of people were compelled to sing at the back because I just couldn't hear that, the volume. Maybe you hear it better further up the front. Were you compelled to say to God, this is who you are in my heart and I cannot keep this in? Did you feel a need this morning to come in and cry out in thanksgiving to the rock of your salvation. That for you is Jesus. Through compulsion. I've got to go to church this morning. I've got to be there. I don't care what else is going on in the world. I need to be there because I need to tell God what he means to me. That's why you should come here. Believe me, as I prepare for a worship service, every single week, my objective is how can I help God's people meet with God and then praise him. And I don't have the musical gifts to lead you in that, but my heart, every week I wrestle, Lord, what songs can we sing that will help these folk to pull themselves out to God? Was there an overriding desire in you to give thanks to God this morning? Because your eternity comes only because of what he's done. Isn't that something to thank him for? My sadness is, I suspect, up and down our nation today. People have walked into churches for all sorts of other reasons. It might be because it's a nice social place. It might be because they've got friends there. It may be because they're on a rota and going to do something this week. It might be because they feel an obligation or even a guilt. I've not been there for a few weeks. Or whatever it might be, I have no idea why people go. Do you know the real reason to go is to meet with God and just say, Lord, I'm here for you. And I believe God wants us to say that today. If we don't, and if our purpose in coming is anything other than saying, Lord, I'm here for you, do you know what that is? That's not worship. That's religion. And it's empty. Read through Scripture, and again, God said to his people who thought they could go through the motions and just turn up and here's a dove, separate that, right, okay, I'm fine with God now. And he said, no, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. It is our heart that he requires. You don't need to be able to sing beautifully. We've got some people in our church this morning who can sing beautifully. And I thank God for you. And I thank God that you pick us all up. You don't have to have that, but you do need the heart. That's what God wants of you today. And that should be our primary purpose, our driving force, a longing to shout out to God because I cannot keep it in any longer. And if that's not you this morning, well, I believe that God put this on my heart. Actually, this has been on my heart for a few weeks now because I think he wants to invite you to do a little bit of molding and changing. So I'm going to change my title to Rediscover Your Singing Voice. This morning, let's look at what we might do to rediscover it. Why should we come first of all? Well, we started to look at that in the first couple of verses. But actually, we come and worship because of what God has done for you. I love Psalm 40. Do you know Psalm 40? It's one of the better known ones. It begins with someone who has made a response to God and sees as a result the response that God makes to him. And so the psalmist begins, I waited patiently for the Lord. You heard my cry. You turned to me and heard my cry. So that's the bit that he did. He came to the Lord and he waited on the Lord. Oh, we're not good at that, are we? We struggle to wait on the Lord. We want to do things, but we don't like to wait. But actually, that's where it begins. And then, look what happens in that psalm as things change. He lifted me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock. He put a new song in my mouth. How does that song of praise get in you? Who put it there? God does. God is the one who puts that song of praise in our mouth. It's the work of God. And when we become his children, when we come to know him personally, he does something amazing. He puts the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit allows us to then declare that change to other people. And we are transformed in the process. Do you know the scriptures say, by their fruit you shall know him. The fruit of the Spirit includes joy. How are we to come to the Lord in joy? And if that joy in the Lord isn't there, that says something really challenging to us. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about people I have known in my life who have the joy of the Lord pouring through them. Do you remember this lady? Yes. Ivy. She was about 90-something there. Don't let age put you off. People who are in their 90s can be full of the joy of the Lord, and Ivy was one of them. Went to a birthday party when she was 100. Sadly, she's not with us any longer. But when she was 100, she was still full of the joy of the Lord. And every time she would sit, actually, where Janet is, I think that's the seat of praise. It just occurred to me. She did, didn't she? She sat where you are, Janet. And she would sit there, and you couldn't shut her up sometimes. And she'd be singing in tongues, because God had given this gift to her. And so we'd be inviting people to pray, and we'd have to wait. Have to wait until Ivy had done her section. She just poured her heart out to God. And she was like that. If you'd given her the chance, she'd have got up and danced, even in the 90s. I think she used to be a dancer. Because she wanted to just pour herself out to God. That's Ivy. And then I was thinking about my grandmother. And my biggest memory of my grandmother, you might be surprised by this, the biggest visual memory is not of her in her home or with her husband, my granddad, or on a holiday or at Christmas or any of those big occasions. I've got those memories as well. But my biggest memory of her is sitting right there. As I was sitting in my seat at church growing up, she was sitting over there. And she always had a smile on her face. And as we had an open church service a few weeks ago, where there was no minister leading it, but we all took part, that's the sort of service I was quite used to growing up. And there'd be silent gaps before someone would stand and give a prayer or reading or a hymn or something. But always my grandmother was sitting there with a big smile on her face. She was singing to God, full of praise to God, because she knew who he was and what she meant to him. Why is God so deserving? We'll read on in your passage, verse 3. For the Lord is the great God. Great God, not some mediocre. The great King above all gods. One of the phrases you've heard me say occasionally in a description of God is the God above all gods. El Elyon. Genesis 14. The Lord is the great God. In his hands are the depths of the earth. Is it the Mariana Trench that's 7 miles deep? God's. That's God's department. The depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him. Everest, oh, it might have killed an awful lot of people. It may be out of touch for most human beings, but that's God's terrain. God's design. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Why should you praise God? Why would you want to sing to him? Because he's worth it. He is worthy to be praised. I was looking at the lectionary for this morning in Psalm 30, which is another psalm. I've not got time to share that one as well, but that speaks in just the same way. We sing praise to God because he is worthy. He gave us this world that we get so absorbed in, and we think, well, don't have time for God because I've got to get on with the world, the world around me. And God reminds us, no, I gave you this world. I gave you life. He's the rock of our salvation. and we praise him for it. Isn't that why Richard, I assume why Richard, chose at the start of the service that first hymn that reminded us of what the world is? It is the Lord's, and it reminds us of who he is. If you understand the Lord and you understand what he's done for you, that's the heart response that comes. My next slide, and my next illustration is one you might be surprised with, because it came from a music festival. Any of you go to Glastonbury Music Festival in the last week? No? No? Henrietta was there, yeah, she was, you're right. But you didn't go Bill and Molly? No? You didn't think you'd put your wellies on him? No. I didn't either, and I didn't watch any of it on television, but I couldn't help but be captivated by a beautiful story that surrounded this young girl. She's 13, and her name is Nina. And social media has been buzzing about her response when she went to Glastonbury, and how she put heart and soul into enjoying what she was listening to. She went because she wanted to listen to her idol, who's this woman, Sigrid. See, I'm teaching you so much about the musical world, aren't I? Sigrid is a Norwegian pop star. She's early 20s. She was chosen in 2018 as, what was the BBC's thing? The voice of Britain, the voice of BBC. But she was chosen as being that person. But both Sigrid, the person who's performing, and it appears that everybody who's watching on TV and in the crowds at the front thought that this girl was the thing that was most noticeable about what was taking place there. And Sigrid wrote afterwards, she wrote a tweet. Got it on my phone. And she says, of all that was taking place, the biggest legend of them all is you, this young girl. I didn't get to meet you, she writes, but you were on fire throughout the whole show. Thank you so much. I think you inspired everyone to sing along, and you definitely made us all very happy. It seemed that she knew all the words. She absolutely adored this pop star, and she was singing the whole way through, and she just couldn't help herself. She's sitting on her dad's shoulders, and she's just pouring herself out. And it struck me as I was listening to this, and I thought, is that what we're like when we come? Is that how people would see us? So in awe. She's in awe of a Norwegian pop star who I don't really know. She may or may not be good. I have no idea. Are we not more in awe of the maker of this world? And the next slide shows you how much it meant to her. She was in tears, just pouring herself out. And as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking, what does God think about us when we turn up on a Sunday morning? What is our response to him? Well, our response should be what's written down in verses 6 and 7. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Is that what's been on your heart as you come to God? Because, you know, I believe God would challenge us as a church. And he wants to prompt us. And he wants to say, if you really want an experience of me, if you really want to understand what it can be to live in victory, to stop being chicken Christians, to use terminology we heard from Les Ball last year, but be eagle Christians and rise above, you need to learn to give me, to give God his rightful place, to come and pour your heart out to me. That's what I believe God would say to us this morning. We're part of a choir. And something happens when you join together to worship and to give praise to God. People read, I didn't read the whole of what was written in that tweet and what the BBC reported about it, but they said something to the effect that people were watching on their television screens and in tears themselves, seeing the response of this young woman. Do you know, when you come and you pour yourself out, when Ivy opened her heart, when my grandmother sat there with a big smile on her face, when people pour out prayers of self-sacrifice to God, you inspire, you pick up the people around you. I said to the children at the school in an assembly this week, one of God's calls to his people is that we come with thanksgiving and build one another up. Come with thanksgiving and build one another up. I was telling them about Barnabas, the encourager. When you don't come, or when you don't come with your heart ready to be given to God, do you realize that there's a space missing in that choir? And we miss you. We're poorer as a church when you're not pouring yourself out. And God's kingdom is poorer because you're not taking your place. And I believe God wants us to do that, because that's his design for his church here. Which comes to doing something about it. Because I said this morning, I think it was about rediscovering your spiritual voice, singing voice for God. We need to do something about it, because if you read on in that psalm, the second half of the psalm gives a really stark warning. Verse 7, second half of verse 7 says, "Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness or in the desert, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. They still tested me." Do you know what incident he's referring to? They've come out of Egypt and they've complained to God and they've complained to Moses, and God gives them water because they thought they're all going to die because there wouldn't be any water for them, and God gave them water. Then they complained to Moses and they complained to God because of the food. When we were in Egypt, we had food. They'd forgotten that they were dying, beaten, working unbelievable hours in slavery. They were thinking about stomach. And so God gave them manna and he gave them quail. That's chapter 16, I think, of Exodus. And at the beginning of chapter 17 comes this incident where, what are they doing? They've moved on a short way and they're grumbling and complaining again. And that's the incident that's been referred to. Meribah means quarreling. Massah means testing. And they quarreled with God. They quarreled and grumbled with Moses. And he said, "Where's the water that we need? Give it to us." And so God told Moses to strike the rock. But we read on and we read that there were consequences for the people not trusting God, not giving to him what they needed to. They spent 40 years in that desert, and they should have only been there for a few weeks. It took an entire generation to be removed, to learn the lesson, so that when they were ready to move into the land that God had promised them, they were ready to move because those old stiff hearts, stiff necks, cold hearts, had been taken away. That's the consequences of not listening to God. I don't believe God is inviting us to walk through the desert for 40 years. I don't think there's any threat involved here. But I believe God is saying, do you know there are consequences when you don't give yourselves to worship me? There are real consequences. And I believe the consequences, as you see in the final verse, the people didn't know his rest. And there are so many Christians that are not at peace and do not have rest and do not have a sense of God's presence in their life because they're not coming to him with praise, with thanksgiving, in recognition that he's given them life, life eternal. And they're not giving anything back. And we're not worshipping him. And I think God wants to do something about that. So I want to go to one final psalm to find a way forward. And I want to read from Psalm 51. Some of you will know this psalm because it's a psalm of confession. You don't need to turn to it. You can if you wish. I want to read just a few verses from verse 10. And as I read this, I want to challenge you. What do you really think of God? What is your heart's perspective to him? Are you ready and willing for him to put a new song back in your life? Are you ready for him to make a change and do something? Maybe you've become a bit of a stiff-necked person. Maybe you've been a person who's grumbled, moaned, because things have not been quite how you want them to be. And God says, no, just come to me humbly with thanksgiving. Well, here's an opportunity. This Psalm 51 invites a way back. It's in confession. Verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Are you ready for God to put in you a spirit which is steadfast, which is not going to be knocked by things that don't quite work out how you might hope they will, by politicians who make life a bit difficult, by illness that makes life complicated and painful? Are you ready to have God come and do something permanent within you so there is always a song in your heart? Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Do you know, there's no way that you today, if you've become a Christian and you have God's Spirit within you, he's not going to take that away because you reject him or because you don't come with a thankful heart. Your eternal salvation is guaranteed in Christ Jesus once and for all. But Scripture tells us you can grieve the Spirit. You being distant from God is not going to stop God loving you anymore. It's not going to keep him away. He'll love you whatever you do in life, but you can grieve the Spirit. This psalm reminds us, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Remember, who is it that puts the song in our mouth? It's God. It's his work. And so verse 12, maybe this would be your prayer to turn things around today. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. And you might think, that's an interesting phrase. Why is that there? Why is that going to be the response when God's Spirit comes back and the joy of salvation comes into my heart? Do you know, I am utterly convinced God wants us as a church to shine for him in our community. Let me tell you, you will never shine for God if the light isn't even on inside. It needs to be shining bright. And when we are full of praise for God, when someone has to ask you, why are you smiling so much? Even when Brexit is so awful, and the situation in our nation is so down, why are you so positive? Then you can say, because Jesus Christ gave himself for me. Jesus is in me, and that's what allows me to shine. That's when we will start to make a difference as a church for God. And it really does become, it come when we start to give God his rightful place and praise and worship him. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are my God, are God my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. My tongue will sing of your righteousness. Here's an invitation. Please don't live wherever you've been in the past. If you've been in the mud and the mire, invite God to lift you out, put your feet back on the rock, who's Jesus. This morning, I believe God wants you to rediscover your singing voice for him, your praise of him. Go through this week unable to keep it in. Actually, you don't have to shout literally out loud, but you need that smile in your heart that needs to be seen. I believe God is longing for this church of more elderly people in a small part of this small town to shine for him. And it will come when you begin to pour yourself out in gratitude, in thanksgiving to your Maker, your God, who gave himself for you in Jesus. Let's pray.